于是他们就在决定要找一个非常圣洁特殊的地方来举行这样一个祭祀。
And they selected the forest of Naimisharanya.
所以他们就选了那个 Naimisharanya 的这个森林。
Naimisharanya has a very special place amongst the holy places in India.
在印 Naimisharanya 森林呢，它是在印度是非常圣洁的一个地方。
It's called the hub of the universe.
它是被称为这个宇宙的一个港湾。
Like, you know, when there's a, you have an axle and two wheels in a car, where the axle passes through the wheel, that's called the hub.
就是在那个两个车轮之间不是有一个轴承吗？就这个轴是把这两个车轮连接起来的，那个叫做 hub.
Or there's a bicycle and there's the rim of the bicycle and there's spokes that go into the central part, that's called the hub.
就是我们那个自行车那个车轮不是那个中间的一个轴吗？那不是中有一些枝条不是出来是都到这个轴吗？那么这些那些车条其实就是那个 hub， 相当于一个连轴承。
Similarly, the universe has a hub.
在这个宇宙中，它也有一个这个 hub， 就是一个连接的这个轴。
Just like the Earth planet has an axis.
Earth
planet has an axis upon which it turns.
就像我们那个地球有一个这个叫什么回归线啊，
轨道
哎，轨道有一个轨道，对。
Did you learn in science class yet about the axis of the Earth is tilted at 23.5 degrees？
嗯，你学了？他问他有没有在那个科学课上学过，就是我们地球是倾斜25度角的。
Supposing we had an apple。
就比如说我们有一个苹果。
We put a stick to the middle of the apple.
我们如果从中间插一个棍子进去的话。
There's something sticking up the top and something sticking up the bottom.
就是从上到下，就从正中间穿一个棍子上去的话。
And then you tilted the stick on an angle.
就是你会把那个棍子，就中间的那个棍子稍微倾斜一点。
And then began to spin the apple.
然后你就开始转，用这个棍子开始转这个苹果。
That's like the Earth spinning on its axis.
啊，就是地球呢，也相当于这个苹果一样，它是绕着这个中轴线，它在转动。
It's not exactly vertical. It's at a little tilt.
它是不是一个垂直的？它是有一格格倾，有一点点倾斜的角度。
And then the Earth spins.
然后这个地球呢，就会在这里自行的运转。
And in 24 hours, the Earth spins one complete cycle.
就是24小时这个地球完全就转一圈。
But just as the Earth spins with an axis going through the North Pole and South Pole.
OK, 那么地球是围绕着这个是个南北回归线，就是这个中轴这个应该叫南北回归线吧，就绕着这个中南北极，对，绕着这个南北极，北极南极有个中轴线，它就绕着这个不停的在这里转。
The Vedas tell us that the whole universe is also turning.
啊，然后这些圣哲也告诉我们，他说其实我们整个的宇宙也是在这里转的。
And the axis through which that universe is turning passes through the Earth planet at Naimisharanya.
Through the Naimisharanya.
Through it, the axis passes through the Earth planet at Naimisharanya.
OK, 他就说这个宇宙的这个转的过程当中，它起点就是从这个 Naimisharanya 的那个森林，从那个地方开始起始的。
And so it's a very auspicious place.
所以那是一个非常圣洁的一个地方，吉祥的地方。
The understanding is whatever spiritual benefit would come from their sacrifice at Naimisharanya would spread through the whole universe.
就是任何那些祭祀所得来的一些吉祥的一些吉祥的那些征兆或者吉祥的好处的话，都会从这个 Naimisharanya 这个森林里边发射到整个宇宙当中去。
So when they went to Naimisharanya and began to prepare their sacrifice,
当他们来到那个 Naimisharanya 这个森林开始准备这个祭祀的时候，
one great sage joined them.
然后一个伟大的圣哲加入了他们。
After having heard Srimad Bhagavatam spoken,
自从他听了这个薄伽瓦坛诉说的这个薄伽瓦坛之后
，Sutta Goswami was in the audience.
Sutta Goswami 也是其中的一个听众。
When Shukadev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Pariksit.
当那个 Sukadeva Goswami 跟那个 Pariksit 王讲述这个薄伽瓦谈的时候，
Do you know who the Pandavas are?
你知道那个 Pandava 五兄弟吗？你知道谁是 Arjuna 吗？
Krishna speaking to Arjuna.
就是在薄伽梵歌当中 ，Krishna 对 Arjuna 讲述。
Arjuna is one of five brothers.
Arjuna 是五个兄弟当中的一个。
And the elder brother, his elder brother was named Yudhisthira.
他的最大的大哥叫 Yudhisthira.
So Yudhisthira became king.
Yudhisthira 后来变成了国王。
And the other four brothers, they assisted their elder brother.
另外四个兄弟呢，他们就自然成为他哥哥的助手。
And after some time, Krishna left the planet.
过了一段时间之后 ，Krishna 离开了这个星球。
And shortly after Krishna left, the Pandavas wanted to go with Krishna.
在Krishna 走了之后没多久呢，这五兄弟呢，他们决定也要跟着 Krishna 一起走。
So the kingdom was turned over to their grandson.
所以这个地球呢，就交给了他们的孙子。
A long story.
这是一个非常长的故事。
But they had a grandson.
但是他们就是有一个孙子，反正。
And his name was Maharaj Pariksit.
他的名字就叫 Pariksita 王。
Maharaj Pariksit was such a great personality.
Pariksita 王呢，他有一个非常伟大，他是他的非常，他有一些非常伟大的一些品质啊。
There are three chapters in the first canto describing how what a great king he was.
在那个第一篇里边有三章里边都介绍了他的这个伟大的这些人格性啊。
Some misfortune came to King Pariksit.
但是呢，在这个就是发生了一些非常大的一个不幸的事情，来到了这个就是不幸的事情发生在了 Pariksit 王的身上。
Again, that's another long story.
这又是另外一个很长的故事。
But he was cursed to die.
但是他被诅咒即将要死。
By a small boy.
被一个小男孩诅咒。
The son of a Brahmin.
是一个婆罗门的儿子。
Because Maharaj Pariksit did something to offend his father.
因为 Pariksit 王呢做了一些对这个小男孩的父亲做了一些冒犯的事情。
And the little boy was very angry.
这个小男孩特别特别生气。
And he knew some very powerful Vedic mantras.
他知道一些非常强有力的一些伟大的曼陀罗。
So he uttered those mantras that the king should die by the bite of a poisonous snake bird that will come in 7 days and bite the king in the butt.
所以他呢就诅咒这个 Pariksit 王呢，就用了这个特殊的这个曼陀罗诅咒 Pariksit 王在七天之内会被一只毒的一只飞蛇咬伤，对，被一只毒的蛇鸟咬伤，咬死，毒死。
When the message was delivered to the king.
当这个消息传到这个国王的耳朵里之后，
he was very, he didn't become disturbed.
他没有被因此而受干扰。
He understood because he had insulted the Brahmin, some reaction was coming.
他知道是因为他侮辱了他的父亲，所以呢，应该会有一些不好的反应会回到他这里。
And when he was told that he was going to die,
当他被告知他要死的时候，
in 7 days,
在七天之内他要死了。
He accepted this is somehow God's will. I don't exactly understand, but I accept it.
他明白，不知道不，他不明，他明白不，不管是什么原因，这肯定是主的至尊主的愿望。他坦然的接受。
So what did the king do?
然后你们记得这个国王后来做了什么事情吗？
He prepared himself for death.
他为他自己的死亡做准备。
And he went to sit on the bank of the sacred river.
他来到了亚摩拿河旁边。
He gave up his royal clothes and his crown, turned the kingdom over to his son.
他把他的王位递交给了他的儿子，然后脱去了皇冠，脱去了黄袍。
And he invited all the sages to come and advise him how to prepare himself for death.
他邀请所有的圣哲来到森林旁，跟他一起去准备他的死亡。
So in that audience, Shukadeva Goswami came at that, into that assembly.
Shukadeva Goswami 也来到了现场。
Have you heard of his name before, Shukadeva Goswami?
有没有听说过 Shukadeva Goswami?
The compiler of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Upanishads and all the Vedic literature was named Vyasadeva.
就是所有的这些圣典佛家瓦坛呀，佛家梵歌呀，还有一些就是那些Purana 是什么？这个至尊奥义书啊，往事书，往事书都是由这个 Vyasadeva 他编撰的啊。
No, Vyasadeva had one son.
Vyasadeva 有一个儿子。
His name was Shukadeva.
他的名字就叫 Shukadeva.
And Vyasadeva instructed his son Shukadeva, especially in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva instructed his son Shukadeva, especially. In this Srimad Bhagavatam literature.
在不圣典佛家瓦坛当中，Vyasadeva 特殊的也提到了他的儿子 Shukadeva Goswami。
No one else had heard of.
以前没有人听说过他。
Except one person, Shukadeva.
Okay, 就是 Vyasadeva 给他的儿子 Shukadeva Goswami 讲述了佛家瓦坛，在 Shukadeva Goswami 之前，没有任何人听说过圣典佛家瓦坛。我是 translate 装。
Yeah, okay.
现在对了。
You have some editors in the room.
Yes.
Good. So, when Maharaj Parikshit was about to die,
当 Parikshit 王将要死的时候
or preparing to die,
或者是他准备要死亡的时候
Shukadeva Goswami came into that assembly.
就是 Shukadeva Goswami 也来到了现场。
Many great elderly sages were there.
很多年长的一些圣者也都在现场。
Even his father, Vyasadeva, was there.
就连 Shukadeva Goswami 的父亲 Vyasadeva 也在现场。
Even Vyasadeva's spiritual master, Narada Muni, was there.
就是 Vyasadeva 的灵性导师 Narada Muni 也在现场。
And Shukadeva was just a 16-year-old boy.
Shukadeva Goswami 当时才只有16岁。
How old are you?
你多大了
？Shukadeva just 16 years old.
所以 Shukadeva 当时才仅仅只有16岁。
And all these adults and great sages and great personalities, they stood up.
就是当他来到现场的时候，所有那些年长的那些圣者们完全部都站立起来，起身。
To offer him respect, and they had him sit in an elevated seat.
他们都向他供奉祷文，而且给他提供了一个很舒服的座椅座位。
And they wanted him to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam.
他们想要 Shukadeva Goswami 来讨论佛家瓦坛。
So the king was asking questions of Shukadeva.
所以呢，于是这个国王就向 Shukadeva Goswami 询问问题。
While Shukadeva Goswami was up on this elevated seat, the king was on the ground.On a straw mat.
所以说呢，那个 Shukadeva Goswami 呢，就坐在一个高高的一个位置上，然后呢，那个国王呢，坐在就是那个泥土上面。
Along with all the assembled sages.
然后呢，跟那些所有的伟大的那些圣哲们在一起。
And he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后呢 ，Shukadeva Goswami 开始讲述佛家瓦坛。
And in the audience there was Sutta Goswami.
然后 Sutta Goswami 呢，也是在这些听众的当中。
So he heard everything.
所以呢 ，Sutta Goswami 呢，他听到了所有的一切。
Not only he heard everything, but he understood everything.
不是他不仅只是听到，而且他完全的都领悟到了。
He not only understood everything, but he had assimilated it within his heart.
他不但领悟到了，而且他完全的记在了自己的心里。
Not only that, he was able to explain it.
他不但记在自己心里，而且他还可以把它讲述出来。
So when these sages had come to Naimisharanya.
当这些圣者们来到这个 Naimisharanya 森林的时候
，and they saw in the audience amongst all the other sages, their Sutta.
当那些圣者们来的时候，他们看到在这些听众里边 ，Sutta Goswami 也在这里。
So they wanted to hear from Sutta. Can you tell us the Srimad Bhagavatam message? It must have been very wonderful.
Okay, 他们也就问他说，你是不是也听到过这个关于这个博迦瓦坛的这些信息？一定是非常棒的，所以他们也请他来讲。
We're very enthusiastic to hear.
他们非常非常热情的想要去聆听。
And so the Srimad Bhagavatam begins in that setting.
所以圣典博迦瓦坛就是从这样一个背景开始的。
In chapter 1 of the first canto, there's 6 questions.
在第一篇第一章里边有六个问题。
And I'm going to discuss the first question.
今天我
and the first answer to the answer to that first question.
Okay, 今天我们会来讨论第一个问题以及关于这个问题的答案。
The sages said that in this age of Kali, everything becomes deteriorated, becomes bad.
所以那些圣者们说，在这个卡利年代开始的时候，所有的一切都会变得非常的糟糕。
They said that good qualities that previously existed, they're almost destroyed to nil.
所以说，那些先前的、以过往的那些人的所有具有的一些优秀品质，在这个年代开始的时候，都将会逐渐的消失。
And memory will be diminished amongst the people.In general,、
okay.
memory will
memory, okay.
memory、mm-hmm. will be diminished amongst、mm-hmm. people in general.
就是人们的记忆力会逐渐的衰退。
Duration of life will become shorter and shorter.
人们的寿命也会变得逐渐的缩短。
Compassion will diminish.
然后同情心、怜悯之心也会逐渐的减少。
People will always be quarreling with one another over nothing.
就是人们之间会开始互相的争斗。
And above all, people will not have very much interest in spiritual things.
就是人们对于灵性的东西会越来越没有兴趣。
So they're certainly not going to have the capacity to go through all the Vedas, nor even the interest to do so.
所以人们呢会逐渐的丧失这样一种能力去理解这个所有的这些伟大的文献跟伟大的知识。
So we have a question for you.
所以我们有会提出我们有一个问题。
Can you summarize the essence of all the vast literature of the Vedas into one simple understanding? What's the purpose of it all?
所以说，你能不能把这些这么浩瀚无垠的这个伟大的这些文献，把它浓缩成一个，就是告诉我们这些所有的这些文献最重要的、最精髓的是什么
？What's its main message?
就是这个想要所有的这些伟大文献想要传递的最主要的信息是什么
？Make it really easy because in this age of Kali, people don't have the capacity to understand something.
就是把它。就是讲述的越简单越好，因为这个年代的人们，他们会不会不，他们将不会再有这些能力去理解所有的这些伟大的这个知识。
That was the question.
所以这个就是第一个问题。
What's the question again?
第一个问题是什么？大家有没有再重复
？What's the essence, the essential message of the entire Vedic literature?
就是所有伟大文献的精髓精要是什么？
Would you like to know the answer?
你们想不想知道答案
了？
想。Yes. Canto 1, you can look up, you have a copy. Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6 and 7.
第一篇第二章的第六到第七个诗节。
We'll discuss them right now.
我们现在要讨论，有书吗？
The verse goes, Text 6.Sabai Puntsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhom Sujay Ahaitaki Apatiyata Yayat Basu Prasidati Even sounds like it. The Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking not only about duty but the supreme duty.
就圣典波迦瓦坛讲述的不仅仅是关于职责，是讲的是我们至尊的这个终极的职责，
in,
至尊的职责。
In Bhagavad Gita,
在波迦瓦坛中
，Arjuna is asking Krishna, "What is my duty?"
在波迦梵歌中，阿尔朱那问 那个 Krishna 说我的职责是什么
Bhagavad Gita gives the answer what his duty is
就是国家梵歌给了他的答案什么是他的职责是什么
and what's the answer
这个答案是什么
what's Arjuna's duty
就 Arjuna 的职责是什么
who would like to say
谁想要回答这个问题
what is Arjuna's duty
观察部、啊、Arjuna 的职责是什么
放弃一切宗教一切归
啊
放弃一切宗教完全归依我
Give up all the principles of the religion and totally surrender to me.
Sir.
Very
good. 很好。还以为讲错了。Sorry, wrong.
Krishna said this in many different ways.
Krishna 用不同的方法回答了这个问题。
One place he says,
第一件他说
Perform your prescribed duty and always think of me.
他说履行你附定的职责然后总是在心中想着我。
That's two things.
这是两件事情。
You act according to your nature.
他说你跟着你要遵循你的本性。
There are religious duties prescribed for each of us according to our nature.
就是根据我们每一个人的本性其实我们每个人都有被附定的职责。
So live your life that way.
就是在你的就是以这样子的方式去生活。
And the second thing is always think of Krishna.
然后第二件事情是总是在心中想着 Krishna.
It's also our duty to always think of Krishna.
这也是我们其中的一个职责，就是总是想着 Krishna.
In fact, any principle of religion is meant for that one thing and one thing only is to always remember Krishna.
其实。终极原则来讲所有的宗教原则终极到最后都是一个永远想着 Krishna
Some of you may be a little familiar with nectar devotion
你们当中有一些人可能对奉爱的甘露有一些了解
In nectar devotion there are 64 items of devotion
就是在奉爱的甘露当中有64项奉献的活动对
After describing all 64 items
就是在复述了之后了解了这个六十四项品质应该是
Rupa Goswami says there's a purpose behind each of those 64
就在这个六十四项品质之后其实它 有一项有一个原则有一个宗旨
What's that purpose?
就是这一个目的是一个目的目的是什么了
Always remember Krishna
宗旨 Always 就是永远记住 Krishna
And never forget Krishna
就是永远不要忘记 Krishna
Smartavya Satatam Vishnur Nishmartavyam Najanta Chit At no time should you forget Krishna Always remember Krishna
就是不管无论何时何地永远想着 Krishna
So engage in your devotional service duties And always think of Krishna
就是履行你的职责总是想着 Krishna
So that's one way to say what Arjuna's duty
就是这是一种方式来描述 Krishna 的不是 Arjuna 的职责是什么
In his case, he was a warrior.
在他的这个在他的这个案例当中，就是他是一个武士，战士。
So Arjuna Krishna was pointing to the battlefield and said, "Engage in your prescribed duty. There's the battlefield. Go and fight."
然后 Krishna 告诉他的职责就是说，你是一个战士，你是个刹帝利，所以你应该去战斗。
Armed with yoga, stand and fight.
就是 armed with yoga.
Armed with yoga.Stand and fight.
就怎么办
Armed with yoga, with
yoga. It's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to Arjuna, armed with yoga, or equipped with yoga, or powered or propelled by yoga, stand and fight.
I don't know how to say it.
Yoga
is
just yoga. Take the system of yoga.And go into the battlefield and engage in your prescribed duty. Take the system of yoga.
就是采用这种瑜伽的体系，然后走到战场上去作战。
对
，OK。Yeah, you translate.
You translate. Yeah. Now you know how to translate.
Yes.
Armed with yoga, stand and
fight.
Okay. Take the system of yoga. Go forward. Perform your prescribed duty. There's the battlefield. Get going.
Okay.
Always think of it.
明白了。
玩家
武装自己。
就是采用瑜伽的体系，瑜伽的方法，然后用来武装自己，然后怎么？对对对，然后去战场上。
So we're not warriors.
我们不是战士啊。
We're whatever we are.
不管我们是什么。
So what we're to do is go forward in each day of our life and see the situation that's for us, before us, according to our nature. Engage in duties that are according to the guidance of Scripture.And always remember Krishna.
就是不管我们现在身处在一个什么样的环境当中，就是追随着我们的本性，但是时刻铭记着这个伟大的瑜伽的这个教导，然后呢，在心中时时刻刻想着 Krishna， 然后以这样的心态去履行我们的职责。
There's another the verse that we just heard one speak is the Bhagavad Gita 1866.
就是在《伯加梵歌》第十八章的六十五个诗节。
Let's say it together in Sanskrit. Sarva dharma pratyaja mamekam saranam raja aham kam sarva kaveyo mokshayasya mimamsucha.
You don't know? 六十六，第十八《伯加梵歌》第十八章第六十六的诗节。
For tomorrow, you learn the verse.
明天学习这个时间。
It's the conclusion of the entire Bhagavad Gita.
这是伯加梵歌的一个种子世界当中的一个总结的一个世界。
You know some Bhagavad Gita verses.
你们知道其中的一些，就是伯加梵歌，你们知道几个世，大概知道几个世界吧
？One. Some.
在香港的时候有听到一些。
In Hong Kong, I heard some lessons.
You have Bhagavad Gita at home?
家里有国家梵歌吗？
Look up 18, chapter 18, verse 66.
就是回家看一下第十八章第六十六个诗节。
Learn the verse.
然后学习这个诗节。
Very simple.
很简单。
Very simple. The most important verse of the whole Bhagavad Gita.
这是国家梵歌当中最重要的一个诗节。
A verse where Krishna says, "Surrender unto me."
然后在这个世界当中 ，Krishna 说向我皈依。
You know that one.
你知道这个吗
？No. But you're surrendered to Krishna.
就是我们要向要向 Krishna 臣服。
You know the verse without even knowing the verse.
就是不管你其实知道这个世界，但是你知道这个意思，但你不知道这个世界。
Now you can learn the verse as well as live according to the verse.
所以现在你可以学习这个诗节。
Krishna says in that verse to abandon all other varieties of dharma or religion and just do this one thing, surrender unto me.
在这个世界当中 ，Krishna 说放弃一切宗教原则，只向我皈依。
And then he says.If you have some worry or some concern, if you don't do this duty, that duty, you'll incur sin. Don't think like that. Have no fear.
然后在这个世界当中 ，Krishna 还说了，不管你在生活当中有什么恐惧，比如说你觉得，如果我没做这个，我没做这个职责，没履行这个职责，你会很害怕。他说，不要害怕，只是向我皈依。
So that's the meaning of dharma.
这就是职责的意思。
Dharma means duty or religious duty.
Dharma
means duty or religious duty.
职责的意思就是说是，职责或者说是宗教职责。
And then the language of Srimad Bhagavatam says para dharma or transcendental duty.
哦，在伯加瓦坛当中的语言就说的是 para 职责或者是Transcendental 就是超然的职责。
And what is that transcendental duty?
那么我们的超然的职责是什么了
？Devotional service to Krishna.
就是对 Krishna 的奉献服务。
And the name that's used for Krishna in that verse, text number six.
在这个六十六世界当中 ，Krishna 用了一个 Krishna 当有一个名字。
Is Adhoksaja.
Adhoksaja.
Does anybody here know the meaning?
大家知道这个是什么意思吗 ？Adhoksaja 的意思是什么
？Adhoksaja, you heard it before?
你们以前听过吗
？Aksha
Aksha
means eyes.
意思是眼睛。
Aravindaksha is the Lord who has lotus eyes.
Aravindaksha 就是长着莲花眼，莲花眼的那个至尊主。
So, Adhoksaja means he who is beyond the senses. He who is beyond the senses.
Adhoksha 的意思就是说一个超越了感官的人。
He has a transcendental form.
他有一个超然的一个形体。
Just like you asked, have you seen Krishna?
就像你今天下午问的，你有没有见过 Krishna?
She wanted to know if I had seen Krishna.
她想要，这个小，我女儿想要知道 Guru 有没有见过 Krishna。
Well, Krishna's name is, one of his names is Adhoksaja. He's beyond the senses.
Krishna 的另外的一个名字就是 Adhoksha, 就是超越了感官的。他有超然的形体。
Fortunately for us, Krishna is very kind.
对我们来讲 ,Krishna 是非常非常仁慈的。
With these eyes, we cannot see Krishna.
就是用我们这个物质的眼睛我们是看不到 Krishna。
But with spiritual eyes, we can see Krishna.
但是用这个灵性的眼睛我们一定会看到 Krishna。
So, but Krishna knows our limitation.
但是因为 Krishna 知道我们的这个极限。
And he's very kind.
他很非常非常的仁慈。
So he makes himself visible in his deity form.
所以呢，他用这个有形的这样一个神像的这样一个形体。
And the deity form of Krishna is Krishna.
就是 Krishna 神像的这个形体就是 Krishna 本人。
Even he's adhoksaja beyond the senses.
就算他是一个超越了感官的人，但是他还是很仁慈。
Krishna is very kind.
Krishna 真的对我们非常仁慈。
So the deity form of Krishna is said to be a mercy manifestation of him.
就是所以说，这个神像的这样一个形体呢，是 Krishna 对我们这个仁慈的一种展示。
You went to Hong Kong?
啊，我。
I'm asking her. You went to Hong Kong?
你去过香港是吧？
You saw the deities of Garnitai in Hong Kong?
就是你在香港看到的那个 Garnitai 对吧？
Very nice, huh?
是不是非常好？
Very merciful.
很非常非常的仁慈。
That's the deity form, is very merciful.
这就是 Krishna 以他这个神像的这个形体来展示他的仁慈。
One time Srila Prabhupada was performing a deity installation of Garnitai in Caracas, Venezuela.
What's that?
It's the capital of that country in South America. There's a country in South America called Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Just like China is a country, Venezuela is a country.
Yeah, what does he do there?
He was installing a deity at Buenos Aires.
Okay, 就是有一次呢，施拉帕帕的在南美洲的一个国家，就 South 什么？
Caracas
然后去安放那个格朗尼泰的神像。
Just like Beijing is the capital of China. Caracas is the capital of Venezuela. Just like Beijing is the capital of China.
就南美洲的一个国家的首都，然后沙帕帕的在那里安放格朗尼泰的神像。
So Prabhupada performed the ceremony. He installed the deity.
然后帕帕的呢就举行了一个仪式来，就是安放神像仪式。
And then he was speaking to the devotees.
然后他就跟当场的奉在场的奉献者讲话。
And he started to cry.
然后帕帕的就开始哭泣。
He said, "Lord Chaitanya is so merciful."
他说，主 Chaitanya 实在是太仁慈了。
He has come to this remote place.
他来到了这样一个地方。
And he's manifesting himself.In order to receive the worship of all of you.
他把自己就是展示为这样一个神像，然后来接受我们每一个人的这样一个顶拜。
And he was choked up and crying.
然后他就哭泣的，就是一直就哽咽不止，就是。
There's a recording of the lecture.
就是那一堂讲课是有这个录音的。
So we cannot see Krishna with these eyes.
我们不能用我们这一双物质的眼睛看到 Krishna。
Except in his spiritual form. I mean, in his deity form.
除了我们能够看到他这个神像的这个形体以外。
This is discussed in Nectar Devotion in some detail.
这是在这个奉爱的甘露当中有具体的这个描述的。
So deity worship is actually important for devotees.
所以神像崇拜对我们奉献者来讲实际上是非常重要的。
And photographs of deities are the same as the deity, spiritually.
就是在灵性上来讲的话，这个神像的这个照片跟神像是没有任何区别的。
You can't make clothing and ornaments and other things or a picture.
就是你没有办 ，you can or you cannot,
cannot.
就是你没有办法给这个神像的这个照片来制作衣服啊，什么首饰啊。
But the picture of Krishna is also Krishna.
但是这个 Krishna 的这个照片其实也是 Krishna 主本人。
So you've seen Krishna too.
所以你也见过 Krishna 的。
So that verse says, Savai Pungsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksaje. The Paradharma or transcendental dharma is to engage in devotional service to Adhoksaje.
就是不管是我们附定的职责还是我们超然的职责，所有的这一切都是为了去服务至尊主。
Some of you have read Bhagavad Gita.
你们当中很多人都读过《国家梵歌》。
And you know from Bhagavad Gita what the topmost form of yoga is.
你们都知道，在《国家梵歌》当中有描述到了最高的瑜伽是什么
？What's the topmost form of yoga?
Bhakti yoga.
Bhakti yoga.
Devotional yoga.
Does anybody know the Sanskrit where Krishna says that?
在这个就是大家知道梵文的这个字是什么了？
Last verse of chapter 6.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, text
47. 第六篇, 第六章, 最后一个诗节。
Shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamo mataha. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Bhajate...Yomam. Bhajate means devotional service.
Bhajate 的意思就是奉献服务。
This word Prabhupada writes in the purport.
就圣那个帕帕德在那个要旨当中写到。
The Sanskrit word bhaj means service.
这个梵文的这个字 bhaj 意思就是奉献。
Service means practical activity.
服务的意思就是说很实际的一些活动。
Here's the senses, there's the sense objects, and we engage our senses in the sense objects in service to Krishna.
就是我们用我们所有的感官去用于对 Krishna 的服务。
In other words, bhakti is not just something that you feel, a, you know, feeling of devotion.
从另一个角度来讲，就是 bhakti 并不是说是我们感觉到的一种服务。
There's feelings of devotion.
就是我们的奉献服务也是有感觉、有感情的。
But there's also practical activity.
但是实际上它也是有更加实际的一些活动。
Same, perform your prescribed duty and always think of me.
就像我们前面讲过一个职责，总是去履行你的附定职责，但同时要一直时刻想着我。
So we're instructed to connect our feelings of devotion with our practical activity.
所以我们被指示的就是就是 Can you say that again?
Yes. So we're instructed to engage our feelings of devotion with practical activity.
就是我们的指示就是说通过不断的这样一些实际的一些奉献的服务来增强我们内心对于这个奉爱的感觉。
A devotee is in the kitchen.
就像现在在厨房当中的这个奉献者。
He's preparing prasadam for all of us.
他在帮我们每一个奉献者在准备prasadam。
And a little while ago, Priti Vardhana went to go shopping to buy for vegetables for tomorrow.
大概之前的一段时间呢 ，Priti Vardhana 呢也去到外面呢去买一些准备prasadam的材料。
And each of us does some practical something in devotional service to Krishna.
就是我们当中的一些人可能就说以做一些不同的活动来从事奉献服务。
So we're to connect our feelings of devotion with practical activity.
所以说我们通过这样的奉献服务来跟我们内心的这样一个奉爱的感觉做一个连接。
So now I have a question for you.
所以我现在有一个问题问到大家。
How can we use these senses in the service of one who's beyond the senses?
我们怎么用我们这个有限的这个感官来服务那个超越了一切感官的人
？How is that possible？
这个怎么可能呢
？Who has the answer？
谁有这个答案
？It's a practical and it's a philosophical question involved.
这是一个非常实际但又是一个非常有哲学性的问题。
You understand the question？
你们明白这个问题吗
？These senses are material.
我们的感官是物质的。
And hokja is beyond the senses.
Hokja 是超越了一切物质感官的。
And we're supposed to use these senses for someone who's beyond the senses.
但是我们的目标是我们想要用这个物质的有限的感官去服务那个超越了一切感官的人。
How do you do that?
那你怎么去做呢？
How's it possible?
怎么可能呢？
But that's the supreme dharma.
但是这个是我们终极的职责。
That's the answer that Shukadeva Goswami, excuse me, that's the answer that Sutta Goswami said, that's the essence of all the Vedas, is to do that. Senses engaged in one who's beyond the senses. Service of one who's beyond the senses.
这个就是那个 Sutta Goswami 告诉的所有在场的那些圣者们的一个终极的目标，就是我们要用我们的这个感官去为 Krishna 服务。
It's an important question, right?
这是一个非常重要的问题，对吧？
How are we supposed to do that?
那我们怎么样用我们有限的这个感官去服务那个超越了一切物质感官的人呢？
Anybody have a suggestion or you'd like me to answer my own question?
就是你们要不要回答我的问题，还是说我自己回答我自己的问题？你们回答呀，没关系。From Krishna's mercy.
Okay.
好。
Can you elaborate Krishna's mercy?
你能具体描述一下 Krishna 的怎么样去得到 Krishna 的 mercy?
Krishna 通过十度传习，通过音导师，通过经典，什么来帮助他
？Through the sampradaya, through guru, through the.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a philosophical point in addition to mercy.
It's a what?
There's a philosophical point.
那有一个非常这个 philosophy 哲学性的一个道理。
Everything comes from Krishna.
就所有一切都来源于 Krishna.
He who is beyond the senses is the source of these senses.
他超越了一切物质感官，但是同时他又是这个物质感官的来源。
And he is the source of the objects of the senses too.
他也是这些就是具体的这些活动的这些所有的一些源泉。
Because he is the source of everything.
因为他是所有一切的源泉。
So when we engage these senses.In the service of the master of the senses, then these senses become spiritualized. They act in a spiritual way.
就是我们怎么样用我们的这个物质感官去服务那个超越了一些物质感官的人，然后那个物质的感就超越了一些物质感官，又是这么灵性的。我们怎么样把我们的这个物质感官灵性化
？Listen carefully.
就大家仔细认真听。
I'm going to give you a very simple definition of material and spiritual.
我会给你们一个非常简单的一个解释，关于物质和灵性。
Material means Krishna.
物质的意思就是忘记 Krishna.
Spiritual means remembering Krishna.
那灵性的意思就是总是记着 Krishna.
So, you know, here's the phone.
这里有电话。
Now it's being used as a recording device.
现在在变成了一个录音机。
So it's material.
这个是灵物质的
But it's being used in Krishna's service.
但是呢它却被用来现在在从事奉献服务
So it can record spiritual sound vibration You can play back spiritual sound vibration And your consciousness can be spiritually elevated
所以呢它其实就是通过这个录下这个灵性的这个课话题然后呢你在回放的时候你再去听这个灵性的话题
Because it originally comes from Krishna.
因为其实这一切本来就是来源于 Krishna.
Just use it in Krishna's service.
对，就是把它用来做奉献服务。
Here's another example. Here's garlands that are offered to the pictures on the altar.
这里还有另外一个例子，就是说这里有这个花环，对不对？然后包括这些供奉给这个神像的花环。
The elements are material elements.
就这些物质元素，就是花朵，它都是物质的。
But when they're used in service to Krishna, they can act in a spiritual way.
但是当你把这些物质的东西用于对 Krishna 的服务他们就灵性化了
Or prasadam.
或者是 prasadam
The ingredients are material.
那些所有的材料其实都是物质的
But when prepared with devotion and offered to Krishna then it can act to spiritualize and sanctify this body
Okay, 当我们以这个奉爱之心去烹饪这个美食而且同时把它供奉给 Krishna 之后呢这所有的这一切呢就变成了灵性的了而且可以滋养我们的身体，所以你们可以就是去运用这样一些原则。
The mridanga is just a musical instrument.
那个美丹丹鼓它也只是一个乐器。
But when it's used in service to Krishna, it can act to elevate spiritual consciousness.
所以当我们用于对 Krishna 的这个奉献服务的时候，它可以帮助我们提升我们灵性的知觉。
And our voice, and our ears, and our the rest of our senses.
就是我们的声音，我们的耳朵，以及我们所有剩下的这些感官。
We can use something that's on the physical plane in service to Krishna, and it becomes spiritualized.
我们可以用我们这些物质的有限的这些感官、这些知觉，用于对 Krishna 服务之后，就把它变成了灵性的。
It's a little bit of a mystery.
这听起来有一点点就是神秘。
People in material consciousness can't understand it at all.
就是人们处在那些就是很物质感官的这些当中人，他们是没有办法理解这一点的。
But if they hear the Hare Krishna mantra, if they take Krishna prasadam, even they don't know what it is, they'll get spiritual benefit anyway.
就是即便是这样子，只要他们听到了 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗，或者他们有机会荣耀一点普萨等的话，他们自然而然就会从中受益，就算他不知道这个哲学。
Alright, so far I've discussed one half of the first verse.
所以到目前为止我们大概来讨论了第一个就是就刚刚那个问题的答案当中的四分之一。
I'll say that part again.
我会再重述一遍刚刚那一部分。
Savai Pungsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksajay. Then now the second half. Ahaituki Apratiyata Yayatma Suprasidati. This word in Sanskrit Prasanna means happy.
Prasanna 的意思是开心快乐。
Ananda is one name of being transcendentally blissful.
就是 Ananda 的意思就是超然的快乐。
And prasanna is another meaning of another word for feeling great happiness.
Prasanna 的另外的一个意思就是what?
Means feeling great contentment for happiness. Prasanna.
就是持续的感受到这种快乐。
And su prasanna means.Very happy, very content, very pleased.
Su 的意思就是说，持续不断的感受到的这种最高的这种快乐。
Does anybody here want to be happy?
在这的各位想不想快乐？
We all want to be happy.
我们每一个人都想要快乐。
So the Bhagavatam is giving the formula how to become very happy.
然后
Prasanna.
圣典薄伽瓦坛其实就是给了我们一个配方，告诉我们怎么样变得超级的快乐。
It's devotional service that's not motivated. Devotional service that has no material motivation.
Okay, 奉献服务它是没有任何物质的动机在里边。
We're all engaged in devotional service of some kind.
我们通过不同的方式来增进我们的这个奉爱的服务。
And sometimes we may feel more satisfied and sometimes less satisfied.
就有的时候我们可能感到满足，有的时候我们感到不满足。
The way that you can feel most satisfied is...Without material motivation.
我想就是说，如果你想要达到最高的这种快乐的话，就是最高的就是没有任何物质的动机。
That's this phrase, ahaituki. Ahaituki means without cause, without material motivation.
就是没有任何物质的感官，没有任何这个就是这个企图的话。
So when there's no material motivation.And there's nothing material that can interrupt it, then you're fully satisfied.
如果你想要彻底的得到满足的话，就是没有任何的物质的动机，跟也没有任何物质的欲望，你就彻底的满足了。
I'll say it again.
我会再说一遍。
Over on this side, maybe something that starts devotional service.
就是这边的话，可能你会开始一些奉献服务。
But there's nothing material that can start devotional service.
There's nothing what?
Nothing material can.Be the cause of devotional service. Nothing material can be the cause or impetus or bring it about to happen. I don't know how else to say it. There's material cause. For material events, there's a material cause.
就是做物质的活动是由物质的原因造成的。
Supposing there's a marble or a ball bearing rolling across the floor.
就比如说有一个抹布在这个擦这个地板的时候。
Why is it rolling across the floor?
为什么会这样子擦过去呢？
Because there's some force that pushed it, now it's rolling across the floor.
因为有人在推着它往前走。
It doesn't just roll across the floor on its own. It doesn't do it on, it doesn't start rolling on its own. There's a cause.
因为这个抹布往前走是因为有人在推着它。
So now, what about devotional service?
那么我们的奉献服务呢？
Maybe something material can get my devotional service started.
有可能有一些物质的动机会让我开始重新奉献服务。
Well, if I had this and this and this and this, then maybe I could do devotional service. But if any one of those is missing, I'm not going to do my devotional service.
就是如果我有这些，有这些，我有所有的这些，我可能就可以开始做我的奉献服务了。如果其中一项没有的话，我就没有办法开始。
That's on this end, it's a material cause to start devotional service.
在这边的话，可能会有一些物质的动机导致我们开始从事一些奉献服务。
People will honor me and appreciate me and reward me if I do devotional service. So I'll do devotional service.
因为我做一些奉献服务，可能人们就开始会荣耀我呀，会赞美我呀，鼓励我呀，然后啊，我因为这样子，我就开始做一些奉献服务吧。
That's called motivated devotional service.
这个就是有动机的奉献服务。
And that doesn't bring satisfaction to the heart.
这样子的奉献服务不会让你的心得到满足。
Now over on this end, maybe there's an obstacle.
那在这边呢，它是有一些挣扎。
Like the devotee that's in the kitchen.
就像现在这个奉献者在厨房一样。
Just look at his back. His whole body is perspiring.
你去看一下他的这个后背，整个背已经都湿透了。
There's an obstacle. It's very hot in there.
其实他在那里边其实碰到了一些困难的，因为那里非常非常热现在。
Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita.
帕帕德写了这个国家梵歌。
Someone that's engaged in devotional service, a cook in the kitchen, even in the hot summer.
就是有一些奉献者呢，在炎热的夏季，他们在厨房里来烹饪 prasadam 的话。
Or they will take their bath in the river, even in the cold winter.
或者说在严寒的冬季他们在杨那河里边沐浴。
Now here the winter doesn't get so cold.
在这里冬天不会很冷。
But some places up in Gangbei gets really cold.
在这个北印度的话，其实有一些地方是很，在东北有一些地方是很冷的。东北哦，you speak Chinese. 东北，东北 yeah, 东北，就在东北有些地方会很冷。那些人是北印度。
We visited Sandini took me to a devotee farm in Gangbei.
Sandini Maharaj 带我去了东北的一个农场。
And a group of devotees were operating this little farm. A group of devotees were running the farm.
有一小群的奉献者，他们在经营这个小农场。
And they said they have to work really hard all summer long.
就是他们说他们会需要就是在这个农场上工作的非常非常的辛苦。
Even before the sun goes up, they're working.
就是在这个太阳升起之前，他们就已经开始工作了。
And even after the sun goes down, they're working.
太阳下山了，他们还在工作。
Because the growing season is only 4 or 5 months.
就因为这个农作物的生长时间大概一年只有4到5个月。
They said in the winter, the snow is up above the top of the roof.
他们说在冬季啊，那个雪厚到就是能超过房顶。
And you're supposed to take a bath even when it's cold like that.
就是即便冷到那个样子，你还是要清晨沐浴。
And that's somebody in Beijing that said it's too cold.
然后我在北京碰到一些人，他们说太冷了。
When I grew up, I took bath in the winter every other month.
他说我在我长大，从小长大的时候，就是我差不多冬天就是一个月洗一次澡。
I grabbed my head like this.
然后我捂着我的头就这个样子。
I said, what about now when it's summer?
他说那现在呢，那夏天了。
I'm so used to taking baths so infrequently, I take baths every other month.
他说我已经习惯了每一个月洗一次澡。
We need to give you a little training about cleanliness.
但是我们需要给你一点小小的关于清洁的洁净的这个训练了，是吧？
Because devotional service shouldn't be checked by any circumstance. Even if it's cold, you take a bath. Even if it's hot, you cook in the kitchen.
所以就是奉献服务的原则，就是说，不管在任何一种情况下，我们都应该严格的去遵守。就算是在最冷的天，你需要沐浴；然后就算在最热的天，你需要到厨房里去做饭。
That's paradharma.
其实这就是职责的一部分。
That's the supreme. That's the essence of the message of Sri of all the Vedas.
这就是所有伟达经的精髓。
Then you can be satisfied.
然后只有这样的话，你的心意才会得到完全的满足。
And then the verse that follows that is part of the same answer.
就是这段诗节的后面就是有持续的一些解答。
Remember what the question was?
你们还记得这个第一个这个问题是什么吗
？The Vedic literature is very, very vast.
就是伟达的文献非常非常的浩瀚。
What's the essential message of all this vast Vedic literature?
在这么浩瀚无垠的这个伟达经当中，那么它的最精髓的是什么了
？The answer is devotional service that's not motivated and is not interrupted by anything.
就是说，奉献服务是没有任何动机的。不应该被任何的事情所被任何的事情所打扰。
Now we're going to discuss verse number 7 and we're done.
所以我们现在会再来讨论第七个诗节。
If you know the Sanskrit, you can chant it with me.
如果你知道这个梵文的诗节，你可以和我一起读。
Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha.Janayati Asho Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahai Sukham. Again, we're hearing about devotional service. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha. So engaging in devotional service unto Vasudeva. Devotional service unto Vasudeva. Who is Vasudeva? What does Vasudeva mean?
是谁知道 Vasudeva 的意思是什么
？Vasudeva means Krishna.
Vasudeva 的意思就是 Krishna.
Who is Krishna's father?
Who is 谁是 Krishna 的父亲
？Of course, Krishna has no father. He's the father of everybody.
Krishna 没有父亲，他是所有人的父亲。
But when he makes his appearance, he has a father. Who is his father?
但是当他在这个地球显现的时候，他有一个父亲。那谁是他的父亲 ？Vasudeva.
Yeah.So listen carefully to the sound. Vasudev is the father of Vasudev.
所以大家听清楚了这个梵文的两个字 ，Vasudeva 是 Vasudeva 的父亲。
So devotional service unto Vasudeva. That's what we should do.
就是对至尊主 Vasudeva 的奉献服务是我们应该要做的。
When you engage in that kind of devotional service,
当你不断的去加强你的这样一个奉献服务的过程中
，two things happen.
两件事情会发生。
One is that knowledge awakens within the heart.
就是我们心中的这个知识的明灯就会被点亮。
And detachment from worldly pursuit, seeking happiness and material activity.
就是想要去在这物质世界去感官享乐这样子的欲望就会逐渐的被消灭。
Knowledge is something that's already within us.
就是知识本来是已经是在我们心中。
It's with the soul itself.
是跟着灵魂本身在一起的。
But now that knowledge, transcendental knowledge is covered.
但是通过这个奉献服务，这个超然的这个知识就会覆盖它。
Devotional service removes that covering.
Transcendental.
Devotional service removes the covering.
Move the covering.
Removes, takes away the covering.
Okay, 那么就是我们这个超然的知识，实际上本身就是跟我们灵魂在一起的。但是因为这个物质的东西覆盖了它，那么通过奉爱服务呢，它把我们这个物质的覆盖就拿走了。
And the natural knowledge that's with the soul comes awakened.
所以这个跟随灵魂在一起的这个超然的知识，它就苏醒了过来。
And when transcendental knowledge becomes awakened,
当这个超然的知识开始苏醒的时候，
one becomes detached from illusion.
我们就会从这个虚幻能量当中解脱出来。
In the so-called happiness of material existence. One becomes detached from the so-called happiness of material existence.
当我们不再依附灵魂，不再依附这个物质的这个快乐的时候，
it's dependent upon the quality of your bhakti for those two things to happen.
这两件事情的发生取决于你这个奉爱的这一个品质。
To be a devotee doesn't require being a big scholar. To be a devotee,
成为一个奉献者不一定要是一个学者。
Scholarship doesn't require that you're an intellectual.
就成为一个奉献者并不意味着你必须是一个大学者。
If you're sincere in heart,
如果你有一颗真诚的心，
transcendental knowledge will awaken from within you.
就是超然的知识会在你的内心苏醒。
I'll end with this one very nice story.
就是我会通过一个非常好的故事来结束这一个世界。
Lord Chaitanya, you know who's Lord Chaitanya?
你知道主 Chaitanya 吗？
Lord Chaitanya is pictured here.
就是主 Chaitanya 就是上面图片当中的第一位，
here,
还有这个五圣品中间第中间最中间的那位，两只手向上。
Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago to give this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra.
主 Chaitanya 是在500年前显现的，主要是为了把圣名给到我们。
And with that chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the quality of love of God was also given.
通过唱诵 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗，我们就说这个爱神的这样一个品质，也会通过这样一个唱诵会给到我们。
One time, Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India.
有一次呢，主 Chaitanya 在南印度旅行。
And he was visiting the largest temple in all of India called the Ranganath temple.
他当时去访问就是在南印度非常大的一个庙叫
Ranganath. It's a form of Lord Vishnu who is lying down on the bed of Anantashesh.
这是一个就是主 Vishnu 躺在这个 Ananta 那个蛇床上的一个形象。
Very large deity, very beautiful deity.
就是非常巨大而且非常漂亮的一个神像。
When he reached there, the rainy season in India was just beginning.
当他到那的时候是刚好是在当地是印度的一个雨季的开始。
In India, the rainy season lasts for 4 months.
雨季在印度呢，他们的雨季持续要四个月。
So generally, the saintly people, they don't travel during those 4 months. They stay in one place.
通常在这个雨季的过程当中，那些圣者们都会停留在一个地方，他不会到处旅行。
So Lord Chaitanya stayed at that temple, for 4 months.
所以主 Chaitanya 就在那个庙里边待了四个月。
And he noticed when he was going to see the deity each day.
他注意到，当他每天要去见神像的时候
，that there was one Brahmin, who was sitting there holding Bhagavad Gita in his hand and crying.
他注意到了，就是有一个婆罗门，他每天坐在那里，就是说他看着国家梵歌，一边看一边哭泣。
So Lord Chaitanya walked over to the Brahmin.
然后主Chaitanya 就走到他跟前。
And he asked, "My dear Brahmin, what is it that you're understanding as you're reading Bhagavad Gita that's causing you to cry like this?"
就是说，你读了这个《国家瓦坛》，你领悟到了什么？为什么让你这样子哭泣
？And the man replied, "Don't tease me like this. It's not nice."
然后这个婆罗门就说，你不要这样子跟我讲话，这样子真的我不是很好。
Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not teasing you, I'm just asking you what's the cause of your tears.
他意思就那个主那个Chaitanya就说我没有就说 teasing 是教导你，他说我不是在教导你，我只是想要了解你为什么哭泣。
And the Brahmin said, I thought you were teasing me because everybody else is always teasing me.
啊，他前面就说 tease 应该是取笑的意思，就是因为他就说你为什么，他就跟那个主陈太监说你不要这样子取笑我，就是因为很多人看到我这样子，他们都来取笑我，就他说你肯定是在取笑我。
I don't know how to read.
然后那个 Brahma 就说，我告诉你，因为我不会读书。
So when I sit with my book, people come and ask me what am I reading, just to tease me.
然后当我拿着这本书的时候，人们就会过来取笑我，就说你在读什么？因为他们知道他不会读书。
I thought you were doing the same thing.
他说，然后那个他就说，我以为你跟他们一样。
Lord Chaitanya said, I didn't know that you're illiterate, and if you're illiterate, how is it that when you're sitting there holding Bhagavad Gita, you're crying?
然后那个主陈太监就说，我不知道你不会读书，我不知道你不识字，但是我很好奇是，那你拿着书，你为什么在哭？
He said, well, my spiritual master gave me an instruction.
他说我的那个 Brahma 就说，他说我的灵性导师给了我一个训示。
He told me I should read the entire Bhagavad Gita, every verse, each day.
他就说我的灵性导师告诉我说，我每一天必须认真地读国家梵歌的每一个诗节。
But I can't read.
但是我不会读。
So I open and follow the pages with my finger and make some sound, but I can't read.
Make the sound.
Make some sound.
OK. 他就说，所以呢，我就翻开国家梵歌，我就跟着这个每一个诗节，我只是发出一些声音，但其实我不会读。
Then why are you crying?
然后那主持人就问他说，那你为什么哭了？
And the Brahman said, In my mind, I'm seeing the picture of Krishna being the chariot driver of Arjuna.
他说，然后这个 Brahma.
Krishna is the chariot driver.
就是那个 Brahma. 就这个Brahma 就说我读这个书的时候，我在我脑子里看到的就是这个主 Krishna 以这个战士的形象在我的脑子里面浮现。
But he's the supreme.
马车夫，
他是马车夫，他是马
车夫，
他
做
阿
德
拉马车夫。
But Krishna is the supreme lord.
但他说 Krishna 是这个至尊主。
And he's taking the position of the servant of his own devotee.
但是呢，他却做了他自己奉献者的一个仆人。
When I think of this kindness of Krishna, it just brings tears to my eyes.
当我只要我一想到就是 Krishna 的这样一份仁慈。我的眼泪水就会止不住地流下来。
Krishna has such love for his devotee.
Krishna 对他的奉献者这么爱，就是这么爱他的奉献者。
And Lord Chaitanya embraced the man.
Lord Chaitanya
embraced the man.
然后那个主 Chaitanya 就拥抱了这个 Brahma.
He said, "My dear Brahmana, you are the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita."
然后他就跟他讲说，我亲爱的Brahma。就是 Brahma 的翻译是什么？
婆罗门。
婆罗门，他说你是国家梵歌的真正的这个什么？我是。
You're a true scholar of Bhagavad Gita.
你是国家梵歌真正的大学者。
But that you don't have to be a scholar.
但是也就是说，我们其实并不一定要非要变成一个大学者。
You have to be a devotee.
你必须要成为一个奉献者。
You have to have a sincere desire to serve the Mokshacha.
就是我们必须要有一颗真诚的心去服务那个超越一切感官的人。
To serve Krishna, the son of Vasudeva.
去服务 Krishna, Vasudeva 的儿子。
And then the knowledge that's already there inside will come out.
所以那我们心中的那个超然的知识就自然会复苏。
And Krishna will make sure that you have everything that you need in order to go back to Godhead.
Okay, Krishna 会指示会给到你所有的智慧和方法，告诉你怎么样回到他的身边。
Just become the sincere devotee.
只是变成一个真诚的奉献者。
So we'll end there.
所以我们今天就到这里结束。
She's gonna make an offering.
他要开始供奉菩萨的。嗯。这里就是。Finish.
Any questions?
有没有问题？大家有什么问题吗？ 是不是我翻译的太烂了，你们都没问题？
有问题。
有问题啊？那你问吧。
我们是通过日常实在的服务，培养内心真正的这个父爱的感觉。
嗯。
但发现日常太忙了，慢慢的反而就越来越忘记了。
You mentioned that we should like through our practical activity and with devotional feelings and engage our devotional service. But what happened, we were so busy on our activities and we forgot, and slowly we actually forgot about Krishna.
When you become aware of your forgetfulness of Krishna, you've just begun remembering Krishna.
当你开始对自己，就说你自己已经开始意识到了你已经在开始忘记 Krishna 的时候，其实你已经在开始想着怎么样总是记着 Krishna。就你已经开始意识到，你如果通过比如说不精进一些服务，你可能会太忙了，你会忘记回事。就如果你已经开始意识到这一点的时候，其实你已经在开始想着怎么样总是记得回事了。
Let me ask you a question.
让我问你一个问题。
I'm going to give three situations and ask you which situation is it easier to remember Krishna.
但是我会给你三种情况，让你去判别哪一种情况更容易记住 Krishna.
Is it easier to remember Krishna when you're hardly doing anything at all? Or is it easier to remember Krishna when you're medium engaging in things? Or is it easier to remember Krishna when you're engaging a lot of different things?
I don't understand the question.
You understand the question?
第一个是，
第一是就什么事都不做的时候，你是不是比较容易记住 Krishna？
啊。
第二个事情是，就是你忙于很多工作啊什么的，那种工作很多的时候，你是不是比较容易记住 Krishna？ 还有一种是很多，第二种情况是什么？
第三种是你有很多事情的时候。
第二种。
Medium. So, somebody's lazy.
打个比方，有的人很懒。
They hardly do anything at all.
他们几乎什么都不做。
Is it easier to remember Krishna like that?
但是就这种情况下是很容易记住 Krishna 吗？
Or is it easier to remember Krishna when you're kind of in a medium way, engaging, but not too much and not too little?
那第二种、
like、
就第二种就是说可能你做的不是很多，但是就是有时候做一点，有时候又不做，就这种情况，那么是容易记住 Krishna 吗？
Or is it easier to remember Krishna when you're fully engaged in lots of different activity and is it easier to remember Krishna like that?
那么第三种就是说你完完全全的就是说专注在就是做很多这个事情当中，就是这三种情况哪一种更让你容易记住 Krishna？It depends what you do. If you do these activities with spiritual mind and also doing spiritual activity, it depends what you do.
Exactly.
对呀。
But your question said something else.
但是你的问题又问的是别的，说的是别的东西。
You remember your question?
你还记得你的问题吗？
Supposing you're really, really busy, and you don't have any time, you're not even thinking of Krishna.
就假如说就是你特别特别忙，你一天忙的就根本就没有时间想起 Krishna.
Busy people who are pure devotees, they're always thinking of Krishna.
就那些很忙的那些就是纯粹的奉献者，他们其实一直都是想着 Krishna.
And medium people that are nice devotees, they're always thinking of Krishna.
就是那些不太忙的奉献者，他们也是总是想着 Krishna.
Lazy people don't think of much of anything at all.
就是那些很懒惰的人，其实他什么都想不起来。
So everything depends upon your spirit of bhakti, not how busy you are or aren't.
所有的一切就取决于，就是说你这个灵性的这个奉爱啊， 就说有多强，
而不是取决于你是谁，
而不是取决于什么，
你是谁，
对。
The real solution is chant your japa。
就是其实终极的这个解决的方法就是念诵。
And then when you're busy, you're not so busy, you'll be thinking of Krishna。
就是不管你忙还是不忙，你总会想到 Krishna。
And that will give the other option. Don't chant good japa.
然后另外一个选择就是不要好好念诵。
And you won't think of Krishna no matter what.
就是这不管这种情况下，就不管你在哪一种情况下，
then, oh,
你都不会想到
Krishna。
Krishna.
The essence of remembering Krishna starts with how we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
就是取决于我们是不是能够记住 Krishna。终极的这个方法是我们多好的念诵。还有问题吗？
Can learn the
Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad
Bhagavatam.
How could I understand Srimad Bhagavatam quickly?
Quickly?
Yeah.
Surrender to Krishna quickly.
尽快的向 Krishna 皈依。
In the association of devotees.
然后和奉献者联谊。
On one's own reading, it's a little slower.
就是如果你自己自我阅读的话，会比较慢一点。
Because the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to be discussed amongst the devotees.
因为就是关于《博伽瓦坛》里边的这些话题，其实应该是和奉献者在一起讨论非常好。
When discussed amongst the devotees, the potencies of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam come out.
就是和奉献者在一起讨论博伽瓦坛的师节的话，就可以把这个博伽瓦坛的这一些知识，这些重点全部都引发出来。
Just looking around the room, I can see some of the same faces that were here last year.
就是我环顾一下房间，就是我可以看到有很多奉献者，就是我上次来的时候都已经见过。
What that tells me is you're sincere in your practice of devotion.
其实这其实就是告诉我一件事情，就是你们都是非常认真的在做你们的从事你们的奉献服务。
So that's good association for you.
其实这就是告诉你这是一个很好的一个奉献，就是一个联谊。
Sometimes people'slives get very busy.
对，有的时候我们的生活会变得非常的忙碌。
And they don't have time to come together like this.
就是他们可能不一定会有时间像这样子大家定期的聚在一起。
That happens. It's understandable.
这样的情况其实也是可以理解的。
But when that busy period quiets down, eager, sincere devotee will again come for the association of other devotees.
就是当这样一段忙碌的时期平静下来之后呢，那一些就是说很内心很渴望联谊的奉献者，他们就又会组织大家一起，奉献者一起起来，又在一起联谊。
That's the best way to quickly understand Bhagavatam's message.
这样一种方式就是可以帮助你快速的理解博伽瓦坛。
Read regularly, and then when you're with the devotees, you discuss the topics.
就是常规的、定期、常规的去阅读博伽瓦坛。当你和奉献者在一起的时候，一起讨论博伽瓦坛的事节。还有问题吗？还有问题吗？
刚刚谈的那个话题怎么样
用我们有限的物质感官去和这个无限的都吃阿姐这个超越感官的 Krishna 进行连接跟马尔就解释了通过我们实际的这个方式的活动通过我们的真诚因为我刚才回答说是通过仁慈马尔就问这个仁慈具体是什么样但是不是通过这个诸如法上陶让还有这些伟大经典所以是不是通过这个真诚的这些服务按照这个我们使徒传习的这个程序这样实际的就会把这些物质的刚才就举了很多例子这些物质的通过服务 Krishna 就变成理性的这样我们便跟这个不可用物质感官去明白的啊都是阿姐就连接在一起是这样的意思
你要确认这个答案是吧
对
OK he want to confirm the question you ask like our material senses is limited how could we use our limited senses to serve adoksha the beyond the senses so your question is sincerely do devotional service and he said is through Krishna's mercy and through the sampradaya and the spiritual master and you also give a lot of example about how to use spiritual lines of senses to do the devotional service. We just want to confirm. It's like sincerely doing devotional service and also through Krishna's mercy we can do the service to the adoksha.
Yes to all those things and I added one additional very important
他说你说的这两点他就说他赞同是这两点但是他也加了另外一个非常重要的一点
and that's the understanding that everything comes from Krishna
就是这就是帮助我们去理解所有的这一切都是来自于 Krishna
so these senses come from Krishna
就是我们的这些物质感官也是从 Krishna 那里来的
and their material senses because ofconsciously forgetting Krishna but they can act in a spiritual way if I remember Krishna and use them for Krishna's service
okay 就是这些物质的感官这些是来源于我们这个物质的这个知觉那么所有的这一切如果是通过我去服务 Krishna 从事一些灵性的活动而我们就可以去服务这个至尊主服务超越感官的这个至尊主
spiritual quality is restored by engaging something in Krishna's service
就是这些灵性的这些品质是通过我们对 Krishna 从事一些灵性的奉献服务而获得
Production from the earth can act spiritually if engaged in Krishna's service
就是那些物质的这些就是这些生产物通过去从事一些灵性的活动而把它灵性化
Something that's ordinarily material can become spiritualized
就是那些物质的这些元素我们可以通过灵性活动而把它灵性化
and so that way although yes the senses are limited but the senses can become spiritualized and that way serve the bhoksaja
就是我们的是的我们的物质感官是有限的是物质的但是通过从事灵性的活动我们的物质感官就变成灵性化了
我有一个具体的事情要问一下啊，它就是什么呢？就是比如讲啊，就像炒股啊，有人去炒股，他认为炒股如果把这炒拉克斯密是中性的，他没有那个对吧？他说就是如果炒股挣来的钱，如果来用来做灵修，也可以吗？
Okay, he has the practical question, like a stock, like it's Lakshmi. So can devotee?Play on the stock market but use this the money they making from the stock market to do devotional service is this activity can also call it spiritualized if we do that
I know some people that do that
我知道有一些奉献者是这样在做
so it's possible
这个也是有可能
many people end up crying
但是很多人因为炒股最后变得就是痛哭流涕，痛哭流涕。
Because when the stock market goes down, that, you know, the profit is gone, their life is gone, and they're destroyed.
因为当这个股市下跌的时候，他们赚的钱也没了，本钱也没了，他们的生活就受到了重重的影响，严重的影响。
还有一个就是我听那个永恒的祝福上面啪啪的，好像啪啪的当时就是啪啪的在国外建立就是建立的中心呢，特别特别需要钱，但是呢当时有一个门徒就跟他讲，他想去做珠宝的生意，但是啪啪的就没有不允许，只准派，好像就是只允许他派书，
嗯，
不让他去做珠宝生意，
嗯。那你的问题是什么？
我的问题就是说，啪啪的当时就是对这个珠宝生意，我想想，因为这个炒股相当于赌博啊。
嗯。
他珠宝生意还是一种生意呢。
就啪啪的为什么不让他做？
哎，为什么都不让他做？现在怎么就有的奉献者他你都说这个炒股？
你在教会的甘露里看到是吧？
不是，我是听的永恒的祝福。
哦、永恒的祝福 ，OK。
永恒祝福里面的。
我先把这个翻译完 ，OK、嗯。So in the Papa's book,
Your ever well wisher.
He read that book, and in Papa, the once well, in the, once his disciple asked Papa, and because when Papa built a temple, one of the temple, it really need money. So one of the disciple asked Papa his opinion. He wants to go to do a jewelry business, but Papa told him.And not allow him to do this business, told him just go out, send the books. He said, if stock is like kind of a gambling, but for do a jewelry business is like a kind of a business, why Papa not allow him to do that?
I don't know, it may have been the circumstance, like the particular individual.
他说有可能这个 Papa 的给到的建议是根据当时那个奉献者在一种特定的环境下，根据他的一个当时的一个情况给到的一个建议，是针对于他个人的一个建议。
In general, Prabhupada wanted to train his Western disciples to simply engage in direct devotional activity as far as possible.
在那个年代，当时那个年代，帕帕德主要是想训练他的这些西方的门徒，能够尽可能就是说快速的通过一些奉献服务来增强他们的这个奉爱的这个知觉。
But there may have been some circumstance that I'm not aware of that, you know, it's not good for you to do this.
但是，姑的意思就是说，可能对于他来讲，他没有办法去。理解当时的一个现场，因为他也并没有说我们不可以去做这样子的一个生意。
Prabhupada, during his council days, he was a businessman.
就是在帕帕的一生当中，有很长一段时间，他自己本身也是一个商人。
He was a chemist.
他是一个药剂师啊。
So he, Prabhupada, understood that householders.Have propensity sometimes to do material activities like that or business activities like that.
帕德也明白，就是作为我们这个居士来讲的话，他们有的时候他们是有这样一个能力，而且他也是一个本性，他是需要去从事一些这样一些生意、物质的一些活动、物质的职责啊。
Without knowing, I have a guess. My guess is.It was the individual. It was an individual instruction, not a universal instruction.
Okay, so 姑姑说她的理解应该是这是针对于每一个个体的一个个体性的一个建议，不是说是整个所有人的一个普遍去遵循的一个原则。
And it's a little different, you know, what a temple devotee may do to maintain the temple.And what a householder may do to maintain their household.
Okay, 这个其实对于那些全职，就是他是住在庙里的这一些奉献者，就是全职的奉献者，对于他们的指示和他们所从事的活动，跟我们这些居士来讲，所从事的活动，他的这个指示应该是不一样的。啊。
Okay, I think we're done.
好，谢谢。我们今天的活动就到这里。
You have something?
你还有问题吗？
So it's 8:25. We'll end.
好。
And things are prasadams often?
就说有菩萨等是吗？
Yeah. So why do you serve?
Okay, 那就开始大家荣耀菩萨等。
好。